Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Mary Griffith Show for this Monday, the 1st of July. And of course, the Mary Griffith Show is sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, serving up premier coffees roasted and delivered in small batches, all sorts of great signature blends that are delivered fresh, so you can get that delivered to you, or just get it at the convenience store nearest you. And we're going to be talking about a fairly new event that really celebrates the 4th of July and gives folks a chance to get out and enjoy themselves on the city's riverfront. And one of the organizers is here, Mekki Kosin. Good morning, Mekki.
Right, and I brought Travis Merrill with me, who was very instrumental in getting the bands and the entertainment.
Well, good morning to you, Travis, as well.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Of course. Love to have it. Mekki, if we get a little bit of a history lesson about Freedom Fest.
Okay.
The decision to come up with this festival, what was that?
The fact that the fireworks were canceled during COVID.
Okay.
In 2020, we found out, like about in the beginning part of June, we found out that there weren't going to be any fireworks because everybody was under the bed scared and didn't want to get within 6 feet of each other and all that kind of stuff. So the fireworks were canceled, and several of my friends, we were getting together pretty much on a daily basis. My office was closed, so, you know, but I was in the office all the time. So we got together, and we used the phones in the office, and we called friends and called businesses, and in about 3 weeks, we had the money together to do some fireworks. But then it had a problem with permissions. Nobody wanted us to have a gathering like that. So we ended up using the Shortridge lot down on the riverfront. They let us use it. We put two tractor trailers on there that we used for a stage. We had some local bands. We had some vendors because it was getting the vendors, the small businesses, to have some income. And we shot the fireworks off from a mile away in Missouri, because nobody would give us permission to do it here.
Right.
And that's how it started. And then we had such good kudos afterwards. People were so glad that we did it, that we formed Quincy Freedom Fest, Inc., and this group is now working only on Freedom Fest. The 4th of July is our Day of Freedom Fest. I mean, that's when we got our liberties. That's when we separated officially from Great Britain, because at that time we were subjects of the king.
There you go, and the rest is gone from there.
Yep.
And it's really gotten bigger every year, hasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it has gotten bigger, and I'm very glad about that. We're doing it at Clatt Adams Park. We have everybody's permissions, you know, all the way up and down the road. It's going to be 2 days. We're having fireworks both days. So on the 4th, of course, we have our big fireworks show. We shoot them off from the island, Quincy Island. And last year it was a fabulous show, what we heard. And then on Friday we'll have a somewhat smaller show, but we'll still have fireworks there in the evening. But we have two bands on Friday.
Very nice. Now, I assume that you've been keeping track of what's going on with the river.
Oh, yeah.
It's finally acting like the river is supposed to act.
Right. I mean, we were talking about all kinds of contingency plans. This isn't the time to have that conversation. We need to do that with the Park District and everybody in the city and everybody else right after this one is over for next year. So, but we're going to go through with it. From what we've heard, Clatt Adams Park should not be wet, should be dry. And if the island, the tip of the island, is a little bit underwater, we'll just move it back.
Right. Yeah. The forecast as of today is looking like the roundabout, it's like a half foot from where the roundabout would start to get wet.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah. So, I mean, we're keeping fingers crossed and saying a few prayers and whatever helps, you know.
Right. Exactly.
And we're encouraging everybody else to do the same.
Exactly. So we'll keep you updated with that here on WTAD throughout the day as well. So as soon as we get that from the National Weather Service. But as we've mentioned, this has grown bigger and bigger, and you've had to have some discussions over the past year or two with folks about where they can be and where they can't be.
Right. Yeah. Well, the Park District is pretty strict about that. I mean, of course, we don't want to damage the park in any way, shape, or form. We pride ourselves in leaving it in better shape than we got it. And, you know, we're working with everybody together, and it's how it's so nice that everybody's working with us on this, because it's not something we're doing for ourselves. It's something we're doing for the community. It's a totally free event.
Mm-hmm.
Totally free. The bands are free. You can come and listen to the music, and maybe Travis can tell us a little bit about that. The other activities that we're going to have there are free. Yeah, if you want to buy something to eat or drink, you'll have to spend some money, but you'd have to do that anyway.
Right.
You know, all the entertainment is here for free, and we're so glad we've had sponsors that have given us big checks and little checks, so that we could pre-order the fireworks and all this other stuff, the stage that we need to set up and all the things.
Yeah, and we'll thank the and we'll go over the sponsors here a little bit later on here. Travis, can you tell us some of what the musical acts are going to be for both days?
Absolutely, yeah. We're very excited about the entertainment that we have lined up for you this year at Freedom Fest. So on July 4th, our entertainment starts at 3:30, actually both days, on the 4th and the 5th. So on the 4th of July, before the music starts, around 3:30, we're going to have a local Latin dance group coming down, doing some salsa dancing. This is very interactive. They're going to want to get people involved and get people out there dancing. Out with their Latin music. We're very excited about that. And then we also have a local martial arts group from Midwest. Jiu-Jitsu Academy is going to be coming down and doing some performances, and their entertainment is also going to be interactive as well. They're interested in anybody who wants to volunteer to show them some of their jiu-jitsu moves and a little bit of learning there. So that's pretty exciting for the 4th. And then immediately following that, back by popular demand, we have a relatively regional band called Ghost of Judas. They came and performed at our event last year. Last year it was on the 3rd and the 4th, and they performed on the 3rd. They did such a wonderful job that we invited them back this year to perform on the 4th. So they are excited about that. We are very excited about that. On the 5th of July, again at 3:30, we have a Vansel dance group coming down to perform. They have come and performed for us before. Everybody loves to have them. We're excited to have them. And then we have two bands playing, a local band, Trifecta, will be playing starting at 5:30. And then our main act for Friday night is an 80s tribute rock band. It's called Poison Crew. So as you can imagine, it's a tribute to Poison and Motley Crue both. So we're excited to have those guys down and really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it sounds like a good time. And for the first two acts that you mentioned, you should probably wear comfortable shoes and somewhat loose-fitting clothing if you're going to take part with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably. That would be a good idea.
And if you get interactive with the Vansel dancers, you might get in trouble.
So. Yeah, right. We don't want to do that.
So, yeah.
We're also having something else that's new. We have a car show that's going on in conjunction with it. A car and bike show, I think it is. We teamed up with Adam Fenton, and he's running that part of it. So that'll be on Front Street, all along there. So that'll be cool. It's a jury show, I think. For them, they're having prizes and stuff like that. So if you don't know anything about it and you have a neat old car or whatever, contact Adam Fenton wherever you can find him, Of course, like I said too, we have the fireworks both nights, and that's going to be wonderful. On the 4th itself, we have always read the Declaration of Independence, and this will happen this time again. This time we've partnered with Ulmus Academy, a new private school in Quincy, and the kids from the school are going to read the Declaration, and they're going to give some educational moments. Then last year we had a great big picture of the Declaration of Independence that was there, and people could actually sign it, and that was quite entertaining, I think, for a lot of people, because a lot of people had heard it, but they'd never even read it or seen it or something, So we're getting more picture boards like that to add to it, because this is what we're celebrating, our history.
Exactly. Would you say that the fireworks are the largest part of the expenses that you have?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, by far. I think we spent like $32,000 or something like that on fireworks this year. Yeah, it's gone up from the $16,000 we first spent,
yeah.
A little bit. But, I mean, we need it for two nights, so.
Right.
And it's a nice show. And this company that we're getting them from, they have always given us a little bit extra, So,
nice.
And that's nice. That's nice, too. And we have our own very own pyrotechnician in our group. So, it's just a good show. And, I mean,
yeah.
what's not more American than fireworks on the 4th of July? I mean, seriously.
Exactly. And I imagine insurance is a part of it, too.
Yep. Oh, well, it's the stuff you have to have, you know, insurances and licenses. And, I mean, we've got our liquor licenses, we've got our food licenses and everything. And the vendors, I hope all the vendors go to the city and get their peddler's license, because we don't want them to get thrown out, because that's something that's necessary. I mean, some of the things you have to do in order to get things done, you know?
Yeah.
And we're all wanting to have a good time. And so, yeah, please just follow the rules and we'll all be fine.
Exactly.
We have more than 50 vendors this year.
Nice.
That's big. I talked to Steve Kennedy this morning. He's the one that puts the vendors together and lines them out where they need to go. And he said, do you believe we have 50 vendors this time? And there's still calls coming in.
Really?
Yep.
You want to get on here and set a deadline?
Steve said, no, they have to contact Steve, because Steve said, if I have still space for them, I'll put them in. If I don't have any space, I'll say sorry next year.
Well, that's all the deadline you need then.
Yeah. Right.
Basically saying, hey, space is limited, so you better call now.
Right.
But it's a good problem to have.
Well, and they can look it up on our website, because there is a vendor tab on there, so they can see what's available. We still could use some more volunteers for the 5th, because it's 2 big days, you know, and we need a lot of volunteers. We have children's activities, children's games, adult games. It's all going to be in good fun, you know, and people get together and just celebrate.
Yeah, I would imagine if someone is affiliated with one of the parochial schools, you might want to check and see if those hours will work for volunteer hours as well. So.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, we need a lot of adult people that can help us with the beer sales and stuff like that, but we also can use some older kids that can help with the children's activities.
Exactly.
Because they're going on both days.
Exactly. We're at 9:28. When we come back, we'll find out what's going on with the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. And we'll get back to more about Freedom Fest coming this Thursday and Friday in Clad Adams Park in Quincy as the Mary Griffith Show continues on WTAD. Thank you so much for that update. We'll get another one coming up for you in the next hour here on WTAD. 9:32 on the Mary Griffith Show. I'm Scott Hardy, in for Mary, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee. And alongside from Freedom Fest is Mekki Kosin and Travis Merrill. And Travis, we were talking a little bit. It must be a little bit different for you now. You've worked so hard to contact the bands and get them all ready to go. And now it's just a matter of making sure that they're where they need to be before the performance.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a lot that goes into it, and fortunately, the gentleman that we work with on the stage is always very accommodating. He's going to be bringing that down the day before. Jeremy Allen, that's running sound, does a great job. So yeah, there's a lot that people don't realize that goes into getting an event like this set up. A lot of long hours and late nights on getting everything staged and ready. But I think that things are going to shape up really nice. We've been in contact with everybody, and everybody's really excited for the event.
How have the bands been to deal with? How have they been?
Oh, they've been very easy to work with. The bands that we have, the Poison and Motley Crue tribute band, those guys are coming out of Chicago. We've been in contact with them. Those guys have been great. There's some accommodations that we have to make for them, hotels and food and such. You know, a little bit bigger act for those guys. And Ghosts of Judas, like I said, they're kind of more of a local regional band. We've played with them before. Just an excellent group of guys. Very easy to work with. Everybody loves this event. Nobody makes anything too difficult for anyone. Again, it's everything's been pretty smooth sailing so far.
That's good. Mekki, you've probably got a lot of people that you want to thank in terms of sponsors and who are helping to make this possible.
Right. I mean, we've had lots and lots of different sponsors. I don't want to start mentioning them here now, because I'll forget one.
Okay.
And then that'll be the one, the bigger one or something like that. But we have had so much support from the community, from businesses, from organizations, that we're really, really thankful for all of that. And we will have banners on the stage that are mentioning all of them, all the sponsors, you know. So it's going to be a wonderful event. We just hope the weather holds out and it's not too hot and not too cold, you know, just right. And like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, you know.
Exactly, exactly. I think it's going to be more an issue of water from the sky.
Right, right,
is
right.
The thing, so.
But we'll have to live with that. I mean, that's just what it is, you know. And if it rains on the 4th of July and we can't do the fireworks on the 4th of July, well, we'll shoot it all on the 5th, you know. So stay tuned. We're not in charge of the weather, you know, and that's a good thing or a bad thing. I've been through this many times with Dogwood in the 80s when I was doing that. And so it's going to be a fun event. And come on out and support us.
Yeah, Dogwood's gotten to the point now where it's almost, you know, you make a joke about it as soon as you plant it, because you know there's always a chance.
Right. Always has been.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had snow, we've had heat, we've had everything, you know,
yeah.
Tornadoes,
yeah.
When the air show was supposed to happen, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. No, but it's just, you have no control over that, so you might as well just go with it and do whatever you can.
Yeah. In fact, one of the years, the theme was Dogwood Rains.
Uh-huh. I know.
Yeah.
But it was spelled a little different.
Yeah, it was spelled. But yeah, it was. There was a nice wink to everybody who knew.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I imagine... If folks want to volunteer, what should they do?
They should go on our website, quincyfreedomfest.com, and put down the volunteer tab. Pull down on the volunteer tab, and you see what spots are open and what times are open. And just please come and sign up. You know, I mean, we'll need to vet you a little bit, because we need to know that, yes, you're over 21 if you want to serve beer or whatever, you know. But it's just, let's just all work together on this, because this is Quincy's Freedom Fest.
Right, right. Before we go, what is, if there was one thing that you wish people got from attending either or both days from the Freedom Fest, what would that be?
Education about what's going on in our country, education about our history, education about the Declaration of Independence, and that those people that signed it, they committed treason.
Yeah.
They put their lives really on the line for it. And they weren't stupid people. They were learned people. And, you know, what happened to them afterwards? We have that in the script, too, that they read that. It's surprising how many people lost everything they had. They were people of means, and they lost everything they owned, you know, but still they went through with it. And we're not asked to do that today. I don't think we could get it done today anyway, with the way things are going in the world. But I mean, my hat is off to those patriots that went that extra step and stood up against the King of England, because they were English subjects at that time.
Yeah, it makes the fact that John Hancock signed the thing as large as he did, there's like another meaning behind that, isn't
it? It was like
there?
A thumb in your eye, King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take a look at that. What do you think?
Yeah, so, what do you think?
Yeah, that's quite the bravado there. But,
right, and so we try to educate people about our history.
Okay, very
and
good.
And why it's so good to be in this country and to be free and, you know, celebrate it.
Exactly. Start times for Thursday and Friday, 3:30.
Yep, 3:30 is when the entertainment starts, but 3 o'clock is when the gates open. Please don't bring any coolers. We want to sell you something to drink. We don't only have beer, we have sodas and stuff like that, too. Come and participate in it, and in this way, just buying a soda or something like that, you can help us make enough money. That's the goal, to make enough money this year so we can buy the fireworks for next year.
Exactly.
I mean, this is only year 4, so we're not quite there yet, but we normally get it all together, and because we have to order the fireworks at the beginning of the year, you know, and when you order something like that of that magnitude, you got to have some dough with it too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
And I mean, none of us have a big enough credit card for that.
Yeah, folks would know if you did, that's for sure.
But
and Travis, you have to contact the musical acts fairly early in advance too, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, when we're trying to get everything lined out, every year that I've been involved with it, we've tried to get entertainment locked down sooner and get our schedule sooner. It just allows for the rest of everything to fall into a place a lot easier and allows us to focus on fundraising and everything else. So, yeah, the sooner we can get in contact with bands and entertainment and get that locked in, the better, certainly.
Now, at least it's fairly easy to book your band, right?
Yeah, booking our band is very easy. So my band is Trifecta, and we actually did play at Freedom Fest a couple years ago, and I swore I'd never do it again, but here we are doing it again because, well, we love the event, and we love to play, so it's kind of hard to keep the rest of my guys down. You know, I have to work the event, so it makes it a very, very long and grueling day for me, but... That's what we're willing to put forth for the community and put on a good show. So we're very excited.
Travis, it's okay. Mecki has that effect on people. So.
Oh, so, no.
I meant in a good way.
Okay.
Good
okay.
way.
Thank you.
Folks,
thank
it is
you.
Coming up here the 4th of July and then the 5th of July on Quincy's Riverfront. Don't worry. The river's going to stay down. It's Freedom Fest 2024. Mecki Kos and Travis Merrill. Guys, thank you both very much for being
thank
here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure very, very much to have you guys here. Now, coming up when we come back, Freedom Fest isn't the only thing going on for the 4th of July. We'll tell you more when we return on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show. I'm Scott Hardy, in for Mary on this beautiful Monday. Beautiful, beautiful Monday. It's like you wish that summer days were like this all the time, but of course we know that the heat is going to return tomorrow. We'll update you on the forecast here in a bit. Now, folks always think about the Shrine of St. Patrick during a certain period in March, but you're doing more than that now, aren't you? And here to tell us more about a family picnic coming up on July the 6th, this Saturday, is Myrna Doherty. Myrna, welcome in. Thank you for making the trip.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Yes, appreciate it very, very much. You've got a lot going on during the picnic coming up this Saturday.
Mm-hmm, that's correct. This is actually the first time we've held it on a Saturday. We usually do it on Sunday, but with the way the 4th of July fell during the week and everyone's vacation time, we wanted to give everybody, the St. Patrick community has a lot of family members that live away and all come home at this time of year. So we wanted to provide them with maybe an extra travel day to get home, you know, like on Sunday, and decided to have it on Saturday this year. So
this is, and it's nice because you're serving up some, from what it looks like here, some really good food.
Yes, I'm even seeing the forecast, maybe close to what we've got today so far. So, let's knock on wood there.
Yeah.
So that would be great. But, yes, we've had the fried chicken dinner, and the guys just do a phenomenal job. It's their own secret coating. Yes, they won't tell you, and won't show you, and they just do a phenomenal job. And we have the dinner. We expanded our sides last year to such a great, we used to just have potato salad and baked beans, but we expanded it to baked mac and cheese and coleslaw as well. So you have kind of a choice of them two sides. Mm-hmm. And then for the kids' meal, we have applesauce and fruit and stuff, you know, for them too, you know, chips and stuff for the kids' menu. So it's been really, really, we've done this. This is our third or fourth year, and we have just had a phenomenal response on the dinner.
Sure. $13 for adults, kids for $7. That is from 11 to 2. And while you're eating, you can do a lot of things, too.
Yes, we have so much going on, especially for the kids. They have, you know, it's so much fun as an adult to see over 100 kids there and having just a blast. You know, we start them out at noon with the free throw contest. And they go from there to the watermelon eating contest. And then we have egg roulette, which has just become, we have probably 50, 60 kids in that. I was always a little skeptical that that would take off, but it has. We actually have to have two different, for the older kids and the younger kids and stuff.
You're going to have to tell me what egg roulette is all about.
Oh, okay. Well, there's tables lined up, and we have about, I believe there's about 6 to 8 dozen eggs out on the table. Half of them are hard-boiled, and half of them are not. So you pick an egg, and you crack it on your forehead. If it's hard-boiled, you get to stay in. If it breaks, you're gone. You're done.
Nice.
So,
very nice.
So, you know, like I said, I was always a little skeptical of the little kids doing that. But, oh, boy, they get into it just as much as the bigger kids. So, yeah, that's always a good time for them. And then from there, we go to really what we call the grand finale is our Grease Pig Contest. And every year we have had over 100 kids in the Grease Pig Contest. So we have to separate them by ages. I believe we start out, we got like 3 or 4 year olds. And we have the pigs according to the sizes of the kids, you know, the classes that we have. We do boys and girls of various ages and end up having 12 classes. So the pigs are, I can tell you, I fed and watered them this morning before I left. So they're enjoying this weather.
Sure.
And we'll be ready to go on Saturday.
And basically all it is you get a pig. You apply grease, and then you get a penned-in area,
yes,
and then you let the pig run around, and then the kids chase it.
That is correct. And what they have to do is they have to grab them. Most do by their back legs, and they have to drag them to the middle of the pen and stick their foot in a tire. And that would be the winner at that point. So, but we can have upwards of like 15, 18 kids in the ring all the time based on who signs up to do it. So, yeah, it is so much fun.
It sounds like it. And I'm guessing it's not quite as easy as the way you describe it.
That is exactly right. Sometimes it takes them a little while to get it done, especially the little kids. Sometimes we just maybe do a draw. Okay, right. that's good enough.
Close enough.
Oh, yeah. But they do. They have an absolutely awesome time with that. So, and I think by the crowd and everything around it, that the parents and grandparents and siblings all have a great time watching as well.
Very, very nice. And I've noticed that in the St. Patrick area, you're becoming a little bit more active in terms of just drawing attention to what
yes.
you've got going on and having people come in. And I imagine you've been planning that for a while now, just thinking to expand that?
Yeah, well, I tell you, we started out with our 2 years ago, our religious education program, and we've got that back up and going. And it is just, I believe this year we had 42 kids. So in a rural area, as we are, we have a religious education program for the kids that has just been phenomenal. Our vacation Bible school, the first one we've ever had there, we had last year, and we had, I believe there was 92 kids. And so they're going to cap it this year at 120, but it's will be held the end of July. So there's just so many things that we've had going on there, especially with the shrine. We've had been redoing the St. Patrick Cemetery that is behind there, and that's been about a 3-year project, and they have relaid headstones, fixed headstones. The gravestones there go back into, well, we've got 6 Civil War veterans laid there. I think the very first stone was around 1806, and St. Patrick wasn't founded until 1833, so I'm not quite sure how that all came about. But we have just been doing phenomenal things there, and we are seeing our reaping the benefits of that with our attendance in church on Sunday and everything. So we're growing,
and it kind,
and
it,
we love it.
It kind of snowballs, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah, when people see what we're doing, you know, and all the work is the cemetery. We're having to expand the cemetery for more and more families. When they see that you've got a community dedicated to the upkeep and everything, into a beautiful place to, you know, to rest your family members, we are seeing all kinds of growth there.
That's great, because I mean, most folks who've spent any time in and around the area just remember, you know, that you could get a special stamps, or you know, you
yes,
could get your
yes,
mail
that's in March, that's correct,
you
yeah.
could get your mail done that way. And then it was like you started with the St. Patrick's activities, and now there's so much more, and it allows you now to think ahead, like, what else can we do?
That's exactly right. I mean, we put in playground equipment for the kids. We had some there that had been there that Well, I think I played on when I was a kid. I'm not sure how old it was.
It's only 15 years ago.
Yeah. I think I still have a scar from the teeter-totters underneath my chin. Those kind of playground equipment, you know.
That just builds character, Martha.
Yeah, you take your life in your hands when you're playing on that.
Exactly.
But, yes, we put in new playground equipment, and it's really fun after church on Sunday. The kids all take off, you know, and go there and play, you know, and everything. And it's really nice. And we had to the rectory that had been built just a few years before the shrine. We went in last fall and completely redone that to be able to have classrooms for all our religious education classes. So yeah, it's been great.
And I imagine that because of all this, now you're starting to draw not just from the St. Patrick area, but you're starting to draw a bigger area that you're drawing
yes,
from.
Yes, yes. You know, and one of the things, and happened now 2 years in a row, they came this year as well. The Notre Dame Catholic School in Burlington brings down a class every year, and they do a pilgrimage and we do a tour. And this year we fed them, we provided them with a meal, and had all kinds of things for them to do while they were there after we'd done the historical presentation to them and then done a cemetery tour. And now we have another group that's coming July the 9th, and these are the parents of the kids that have been. Now they want to come, so we're going to be doing the same thing with them. So yeah, things are just happening all the time.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful to hear. It's the Shrine of St. Patrick Family Picnic this Saturday from 11 to 2, and yeah, you can sit and have some delicious fried chicken dinner. That is a secret.
Yes.
You can try to figure out what the recipe is, but it's a secret. $13 for choice of two sides, and there's a lot more activities going on. We'll find out a little bit more what's going on with the Shrine of St. Patrick. We talk it over with Myrna Doherty in our remaining minutes here on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show on this beautiful Monday, the 1st of July. Scott Hardy in for Mary, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee in Quincy, and alongside Myrna Doherty with the Shrine of St. Patrick. The family picnic is coming up this Saturday from 11 to 2 in St. Patrick. And one thing that we didn't mention when you were talking about some of the things going on is you're also going to be having a quilt show. So
yes.
Folks have been getting ready for that, I imagine, for a little bit of time.
Yes, yes, they have. Marsha Harden and Melody Allmeyer are the two ladies who are heading up that part of the celebration for us, and they have told me that they have received several signature quilts, and they will have them on display. I know the Wauconda Christian Church brought us theirs. They wanted us to see that. It's a beautiful quilt, and what it is the ladies, you know, who are working on the quilt, they like sign it, and then those signatures are like embroidered into the actual quilt, so you have all their signatures and everything. So they have gotten several of those, and one that we are really looking forward to seeing is Karen Davidson. She's from the Quad City areas, but they have a small farm there south of St. Patrick, and she is bringing her grandmother's 1895 flag quilt for us to see. So we're really looking forward to seeing that. That's just going to be, you know, phenomenal. You know, it won't look like our 50 stars, you know, and stripes,
right,
you know,
right,
kind of thing. Yeah. So she's bringing that. And
how careful do you have to be with something?
You have to be, yeah, really. Yeah. You have to be really careful. And the way we display them is just beautiful, if you go up in the choir loft and look down while we have all the quilts displayed, we display them by hanging them over the pews. So
okay.
It's quite a colorful, you know, really just a really beautiful display. I believe we had 85 last year quilts.
That would be beautiful.
Yeah, so we have that. And then we also have a quilt drawing. Peggy Maples, Allmeyer Maples, who was born and raised there in St. Patrick, is a quilter. And each year, she lives in Oklahoma now, but each year she makes a quilt and sends back for us to raffle, and that's part of our fundraising activity. So that drawing will be that day for her quilt as well. Then we're doing something a little bit different this year, in that we're going to have all the attendees of the quilt show pick what they think is the most beautiful quilt that we have there. And the winner of that will receive a $50 gift certificate from the Old Irish Gift Shop.
Nice.
There. So they will have that, be the winner of that award. So, we're looking forward to that.
I imagine you do. I'll go ahead and share with the audience. I talked earlier about the stamp cancellation in March. Tell the audience what you told me about how long it takes for that to be done.
Yes. Well, actually, as the St. Patrick's Day celebration is really big, for us as a fundraising activity. And it's almost a 12-month year-round preparation for that particular event. What people probably don't know is that the design of the cancellation has to be completed and submitted to the Postal Service for approval by October 1st. So we're always thinking about St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. We're always in that planning mode for that celebration.
Wow, because it's like, you basically have 3 months now.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yes.
Folks, it is coming up this Saturday from 11 to 2, the Shrine of St. Patrick Family Picnic in St. Patrick, Missouri. Myrna Doherty being on with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Enjoyed
it,
and I learned stuff. So, yeah, and we'll be talking more about this here on WT80 throughout the week. So make the effort. Just head on up to Clark County off of 81, I believe.
Yes.
So, all right, and then you'll find it right there. So thanks so much to everybody who is on here on the show today. We'll be back again with you tomorrow on the Mary Griffith Show here on WTAD. Of course, coming up now, we're nearing 10 o'clock and the latest in world and national news from Fox.